message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
We've been talking about extraordinary progress. And this morning, the topic before us is destroying embargoes. Embargoes to extraordinary progress. There are something we call embargo. As we go on, we are going to learn a lot this morning. You know, this month has been declared by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, by the servant of God, as our month of extraordinary progress. In the past week, we have been looking at what extraordinary progress is. So just for the sake of review, I'll just run through what extraordinary progress is once again. You know, extraordinary means to have something great and remarkable. Something great, something remarkable. Something great, something remarkable. Extraordinary means to have an exceptional thing. Something that is exceptional. Something that is unusual. Something that is not common. No, ordinary means something that is just normal. Normal. Things that you see every day. And extraordinary also means to have something that is spectacular. Something that is spectacular. Something that people will see and they'll say, ha! Hallelujah! God is visiting somebody here this morning with an extraordinary blessing in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say better, amen. So what is progress? Progress means to move forward. Forward and onward movement towards a goal, an achievement, a destination. So if you combine extraordinary, that means to have a spectacular movement, a spectacular growth, something unusual. Hallelujah. Number two, progress can be described also as an improvement or advancement of a person or something. Improvement or advancement in the condition of someone or something. Improvement or advancement in the condition of someone. It can also be described as change of level. You enter into 100 level in the university, and in few months, write some few tests, and some few exams, and you see yourself in 200 level. That's progress. Change of level. Your level has moved from being in a 100 level student to a 200 level student. You know, sometimes ago, I was talking to one of our students, and I said, you are in 300 level now, right? He said, no, sir. I'm in 400. I said, wow. When did you enter? Now you're already in 400. If I want to say you're in 300, she looked at me like, ah, daddy, 300K. I'm not in 300. Because our level has changed. That's progress. Change of level. Change in the state of someone. Change in the status of someone. You were single today. Then next year, or by December, or later in the year, you move from MISS to MRS. That's a change of status. Tell you, when they are calling people that are married, your name also will be mentioned. Hallelujah. They're trusting God for a baby. And suddenly, a feeling somehow, appetite is not there. And you are trying to do some certain things. And your husband said, what is wrong? Say, I don't know. Maybe it's fever. He said, let's just check. And you check, and they confirm that you are not carrying a baby. That this is the kind of fever we have been praying for. And you suddenly discover that you are carrying a baby. There's something start happening. Your body starts making progress, expanding. And in a short while, 9 months after, you are carrying your bundle of joy. That is progress. And I tell you, what makes your progress extraordinary is the fact that God back it up. When God is involved, it moves from normal to extra normal. And that's what gives it that extraordinary. This morning, God is going to get involved in your situation and in your case and in your destiny in the name of Jesus. Jacob labored for many years. Well, Pastor Ebenezer was teaching on Wednesday. He talked about this. A guy met with God one-on-one. And he did not know. And he even said it with his own mouth. He said, and God was here and I know it not. This is perhaps the gate of heaven. Yet he did not know. And that launched him into a season of hardship and struggle. And he continued like that for many years. And after some years, he realizes that, what is wrong with me? And he returned back to that same place. Even while he was still returning, he was still scheming, planning, thinking with human wisdom. Until he realizes that, look, my thinking and my wisdom cannot help me. I need something extraordinary. And he asks God for help. And the Bible says he wrestled with God. And God changed the story of his life. From being a supplanter to a prince with God. This morning I decree concerning you, the story of your life is going to be changed for great in Jesus' name. Maybe you have been termed barren. You are making progress to become mothers of nations in the name of Jesus. Maybe your family, they say this one is the black sheep. This one, can anything good come out of Nazareth? I tell you, you will become the sheep cornerstone in that family in the name of Jesus. What are embargoes? Embargoes are restrictions, hindrances, obstacles put in place for the prevention of advancement or progress. Embargo are things, restrictions, hindrances, obstacles that are put in place to make the movement and progress and advancement of someone or something or a nation to be hindered. So, some years back, there's a particular nation that wanted to build nuclear weapon, and they refused some people to inspect them, and the American government and the other countries placed an embargo on them, and that affected their economy so much. Restriction was placed on them. When there's restriction, there is always difficulty. I pray this morning, every restriction to your upward movement and progress in life are destroyed in the name of Jesus. Paul the Apostle said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I read, he says, 1 Corinthians, can we have that place? 16, 2 Corinthians. Now concerning, no, this is not where I want. 16 verse 7, 16 verse 7 and verse 9. For I do wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, verse 9. For a great and effective door has opened unto me. A great and effectual door is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Paul the Apostle wished to visit these people because obviously God has opened doors to progress, to blessings. But there are many adversaries. The many desire and are really working on making progress in life. But the enemy has placed embargo. And that is why such individual toil, and they could not access their blessings. There are some that are not making any effort at all for progress. That's not what we are talking about now. People that are making effort, conscious effort, praying, fasting, doing all things that is needed, and yet things are not working. This morning, I pray in the name of Jesus that anything whatsoever that the enemy has placed as adversary, restricting your growth and progress in life, they are destroyed by fire in the name of Jesus. What are the causes of embargoes? You know, when you know the cause of something, you will know how to handle that thing. When you know what has created a condition, you will know how to tackle it. Number one is what we call sin or unrighteousness. Sin or unrighteousness. You know, Papa will always say that sin will sink a man. Sin is like tying a big stone around the neck of a man that is already drowning, somebody that is about to drown and is struggling for life. Now tie another big stone round his neck and put him inside the river or the water. That person will go down faster. Even if there is somebody that wants to help that person, if the person is not careful, they will go down together. That is what sin does to the destiny of a man. You see, we cannot continue in sin and be asking for grace to abound. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. But you cannot be continuing in sin and be saying that grace you abound. No. You know, these days sin has become popular even among believers. Sin has become something that we romance with. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. Sin is an obstruction. Sin will separate you from your God. The ears of the Lord is not heavy and is not blocked that he cannot hear you. But your sin will put an hindrance, it will put an embargo on your prayers. After the prayer of the unrighteous man, the prayer of a sinner, is like an abomination. Some people will call it, it's an haram. What haram means? Haram. Not Boko Haram. It's an abomination to God. When you continue in sin, and you are saying grace and blessings, you continue, it doesn't work. Praise the Lord. Bible made it clear, the path to progress is to come out of sin. In Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree that is planted up by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in its season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever, that's the part I love most, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. When you depart from sin, when you depart from iniquity, you will be like a tree that is planted by the river. A tree that is planted by the river does not go dry. Even when the river seems as if the river is dry, the tree is still looking fresh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 34. The Bible said, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any. See, sin brings reproach. Reproach is embargoed. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin puts restrictions. Sin puts hardship. Sin puts embargo. And you know, the amazing thing is that devil make it look as if sin is the best. I tell you, no matter how fast you are going in sin, you can never reach your destiny fulfillment. Maybe you are thinking within you that after all, there's this person that is not born again, is doing this, is doing that, and is prospering. He's just prospering. That is not his destiny. You cannot live in sin, no matter how fast you move in sin. It will never lead you to your destiny fulfillment. Never. It will never. I would say there is a path that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Brethren, depart from iniquity, so that the embargo that the devil places on your life or your destiny can be removed. The devil cannot have control over your destiny if you are not doing what the devil loves. Until you separate yourself from him, you continue to be under his control. Lord, those that are in sin and it seems as if they are prospering, they are like chicken that is being fed for slaughter. The chicken will think that you love him, or love it, or love. You give food, you give water, you even give medication, and the thing is doing fine, shaking. But the day will come when you feel like eating chicken pepper soup, you will enter into the chicken pen and look out for the fattest among them and punch on it and say, can you dress it for me, please? I want to eat chicken pepper soup. At that point, every of your food, water, things that the chicken has eaten, you collect it back. Just once. With one stroke of knife, the thing ends up in the pot. Don't end up in the pot of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. That is why we need to move away from iniquity. You know, there are some sins now that are so fashionable. And we all flow easily. Many flow easily with it, believing that it is the trend. Sin can never be a trend with God. You can't trend in sin with God. Not possible. It's not possible. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in Job chapter 36, verse 11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword. May you not perish in Jesus' name. And they shall die without knowledge. Pray that every embargo of sin or your destiny are lifted this morning in the name of Jesus. Number two causes of embargo is lack of vision. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Your knowledge will bat your vision. Your knowledge will bat your vision. A man of knowledge is a man of vision. A man of vision is a man of knowledge. Because if you lack knowledge, you can never have vision. You won't even know what to do. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says, my people are destroyed because they lack knowledge, because they lack vision. Because they cannot think. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Because you lack knowledge, you lack vision, you will not move forward. That's what the Bible is saying. So, brethren, your vision is a driving force that keep propelling you to progress. It's alas, a lot of people are living their life without vision. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people do what? The people perish. Proverbs 29, 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The people perish. If there is no vision, the people will perish. For he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Lack of vision is lack of progress. Lack of vision limits your progress. Because your lack of vision is a lack of will for progress. Your vision is the tire that moves you to your progress. Like having the latest Mercedes-Benz is one that I saw recently that I love so much. I spoke about it at the self-fellowship yesterday. I love that particular car. You know, one day I was taking my kids to school and I saw it. And I said, ah, look at this vehicle. I love it so much. And my wife said, ah, this one for pastors. I said, yes, one of our fathers in the Lord is riding this. In this glory here. I said, hey, I said, yes. As if pastors should not write good things. Hallelujah. And my kid asked me, how much will this kind of thing cost? And I mentioned the price. And they say, ah, I say, yes. I see God blessing you in the name of Jesus. Candidly, I love to ride that kind of a vehicle. Hallelujah. Any of you are not saying amen? Amen. You see, it's good to have good things. I'm telling you, it's good. Somebody is thinking that, pastor, is that not worldliness? That is godliness. That is good godliness. Praise the Lord. I don't want to go into that. I would have changed your mind to let you know that my God, he said, the cattle upon the thousand hills is the Lord. The Lord delights in the prosperity of his servant. But back to what we are teaching. You have the best car. There are no tires. The engine is superb. In fact, the AC is, the upholstery are sweet. Everything is on point, but no tire. Will you go anywhere? Except you want to do James Bond. Except you want to do James Bond. And even at that, there's a level you will do and the thing will not go again. You know why? Because the law of physics will set in. James Bond is the one that drove on rail. Many of us didn't know that. But don't worry. You will keep driving on the rail, the metal wheel will get hot and they will start breaking. Your progress will be limited because there is no tire. No matter how beautiful the car is, your vision is like the tire that moves the vehicle. That is why a man of no vision is a man that will not move forward. Praise the Lord. When there is no vision, there's no drive for advancement and progress. A man without vision is a man without a future. And a man without a future will always be a man that lives in the past. And the past has already passed away. A man that has no vision, you will have no future. And a man that does not have any future is a man that is living in the past. Meanwhile, the past has already passed away. Can anybody tell me that what you did between 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. yesterday, you could recover it? As in, if you are to recover the time, can you recover that time? Oh, that one is gone. And that is why we must move with vision. We must move with vision. Your lack of vision will lead to a lack of vitality, to living an impactful life, to living a life of progress, to sustaining your progress in life. Your vision is what sustains your progress and grants you speed, hard impetus to your fight against stagnation. That is what gives you the wings upon which you will fly. When you have no vision, you will remain at a point and you will think you have arrived. Well, that is the minimum that God has destined you for. And brothers and sisters, I want to challenge you this morning. Think big. Think big. Turn to your neighbor, say, think big. If he's not answering, turn to the next person, say, think big. In fact, tell them, think massive. Don't think small. Think big. So you can be big in life. Number three, embargo to progress is laziness. Laziness. This one is something that you can have and you will not even know that you have. Somebody can be lazy and you will not know that you are lazy. Hello? You are thinking, is that possible? Yes, it's possible. You are lazy. You think you are not lazy. Because you are achieving something, you think you are not lazy. Meanwhile, God wants you to put more so that you can harvest more. You have been endowed to do more so that you can harvest more. Hello? I've planted 10 acres of rice. Pastor Ebenezer, I've planted 100 acres of rice. All conditions being equal. Same seed, same situation, same weather, everything equal. Hello? Can we have the same harvest? No. It's not possible. And don't you think if I get 10 bags, it's going to get 100 bags? It doesn't work that way. In fact, it will get nothing less than 400 bags. It's always times 4. If I get 10, it will get 40. Not 40, times 4. If I get 100, it's going to get 400. More! It's going to get more. It will never get the same thing with me. Why? Because he has invested more. Because you are at 3 point something, you think that is the maximum you can achieve. No. Because of the week, I was talking to one of our wonderful daughters in the house, came to me for something, and I was asking her what she wanted to do. Will it not affect her academics? And she replied, sir, she said it can never affect. I said, okay, fine. What's your CGPA? And she told me, said 4.55. I said, wow. I said, are you the scholar? She said, no, I have one person leading me. I said, what's the CGPA? She said, 4.7. I said, wow. Who is that person? She said, my roommate. I said, eh. So, if the person is your roommate, what makes you not to be the one that will have 4.7? And I told her, I said, look, don't ever assume that 4.55 is your best. In fact, if you have 4.55, it means you can have 5.0. Yeah. I challenged her. I said, look, don't remain at this level. Don't think this is the maximum. So when you are doing 2 hours and you think you are hardworking, you might actually have been programmed to be somebody that can do 10 hours. So when you are doing 2 hours, you are lazy. That's what we call underproductivity. You are being underutilized. You are producing below capacity. Maybe the installed capacity in you is 10 hours. and you are producing 3 hours, you say, hey, because everybody around you is producing 1 hour. Laziness is in stages. There are some lazy that on the won't even lift hand. But I'm talking because I know many of us here, we don't belong to that category. We belong to the category of people who are working and think we have arrived. No. You can do better. Turn to your neighbor, say, you can do better. You can do better. You can do greater. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. An idle soul, slothfulness, casted into a deep sleep. Brethren, there is always no motion or progress, as it were, when one is in a sleeping state. When you are in a sleeping state, either spiritual or physical, less is done while sleeping. How many of you can pound yam while you are sleeping? Not in the dream. You are sleeping and you are pounding yam in the real life. They say some people sleepwalk. I tell you, they are not sleeping. But if they are sleeping, real sleep, you can't walk. Real sleep. Can you be sleeping and be driving? Oh! If you do that, you meet yourself in UCH or UITH. You just wake up and say, where I am? Say, yeah, in UITH. That is if God have mercy on you. And you didn't find yourself in heaven. Praise the Lord. There is little that can be achieved at the sleeping state. A lot are sleeping and they think they are walking. And that puts a limit. How many of us drive here? You drive. When you are feeling sleepy while driving, the first thing unconsciously that comes to your mind is slow down. Consciously. Because I've been there before. You will just see that you are slowing down. You are slowing down. You are slowing down. It will get to a point that if you are not careful, you will stop. Because you can do little at the sleeping state. Brethren, God wants us to get out of our slumber. The soul of a lazy man desireth and have nothing. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 4. The lazy man desireth, he has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be what? Shall be made fat. Shall be made fat. To be lazy is to be in a dangerous state to one's progress in life. Laziness is a sin of desire. Sin of desire. Because you can choose not to be lazy. The more you work out laziness in your life, the more you walk into your progress. But the more you walk with laziness, the more you walk out of your progress, out of your destiny, out of your advancement, out of your progress, out of your prosperity. Please, don't compare yourself with others. After all, this person does this and he gets this, and you, because of that, you do that. Maybe that is your, somebody has invested 10 naira and get 50 naira. You say, me too, I will invest 10 naira. Meanwhile, in your own case, God wants you to invest 100 naira so that you can get 1,000. Praise the Lord. God did not design man to be lazy. That was why immediately after God finished creating Adam, God gave him a job straight. Tend the garden. Take care of the garden straight. And God comes regularly to check on him. Know if he's doing what he has asked him to do or not. Because God asked him, Adam, where are you? What are you doing? Where are you? What are you doing? But that's what made God to give him the woman. To help him. To be able to accomplish his purpose and his destiny. So you are lazy, you cannot achieve purpose. It becomes an embargo. It becomes an embargo. Every spirit of laziness in you is destroyed in the name of Jesus. A lot of people think that being hard work is not trending. Mostly the young people now, everybody wants to ride G-Wagon without walking. And that's why evil is all over. God deliver us from such in Jesus' name. Number four, because of my time, curses. Curses. That is C-U-R-S-E-S. Curse. Curse. Curse are evil pronouncement by the wicked upon the life of another to cause them harm or losses. Curses are opposite of blessing. Curses come to take away blessing and to destroy blessing where there is blessing. Curse come to take away blessing or to destroy blessing where there is blessing. The Bible made it clear to us. The Bible said that the devil has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But our Lord Jesus Christ has come to give life and to give it abundantly. The devil has come to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So curses are evil pronouncements. Curses are evil utterances, wishes against somebody or something to cause them harm. They are evil vehicles for the evil powers to manipulate and control destinies. And sometimes this can become an embargo in the life of someone. Christ has redeemed us from every such curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible made it clear to us that God has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. He has redeemed us. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ has been made a curse. So you cannot work under any curse. And I decree today, any evil curse or spell placed on anyone to hinder his or her progress, that curse is taken away this morning in the name of Jesus. The Bible says there is no enchantment against Israel, neither is there any divination against Jacob. I decree in the name of Jesus, every enchantment against your destiny is removed this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me declare to you, curses cannot operate if certain conditions are not met. Number one reason for curses is disobedience. When you are disobedient, you can easily be cursed. Disobedience. Deuteronomy 28 verse 15 talks about that. But it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and all his statutes which have commanded you this day, that these curses will come upon you and overtake you. May you not be cursed in the name of Jesus. Number two is anger. Anger. You just get angry easily. You dwell in anger. You work in anger. Anger brings curses on someone. So if you are here this morning, you are the type that still get angry easily. You need to ask yourself and ask for mercy. I say, God, deliver me from such. Genesis chapter 49 verse 7. Say, curse is their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. Number three, wrong words. Wrong words. Some people will say some wrong words to their own destiny. Wrong words. You just pronounce wrong things. Say, this headache. This one. Everybody is failing. I will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number four is falsehood. I'm trying to rush up because of my time. Falsehood. Falsehood. A lot of people dwell in falsehood. They believe in falsehood. They spread falsehood about others. Psalm 109 verse 17. As he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. You speak evil, you speak falsehood, you pronounce curses on people, you yourself will be cursed. You think it's a joke? Some people will just say, you are crazy. That boy is crazy, man. You're saying things that are not right. The Bible says we should not allow any fleeting talk, fleeting word to come out of our mouth. Number five, doing the work of God deceitfully. Not doing the work of God or not being involved in the work of God. Doing it with levity. Not serving God. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 10, cursed is he who does the work of God deceitfully. And cursed is he who keeps his who keep back his sword from blood. That is, you are supposed to be working for God, but you are not. Bible says that person is cursed. Cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Cursed is he that doeth, you are doing, but you are doing it deceitfully. You are not doing it wholeheartedly. You are not committed to the things that you are doing. These are the channels of curses. I pray in the name of Jesus, every curse upon your life, either by omission or by commission, is destroyed this morning in the name of Jesus. And number five, quickly, is negative family pattern. Negative family pattern. Negative family patterns are hereditary evil occurrences that are peculiar to members of the same family. Negative family patterns are, evil occurrence, negative occurrence that are peculiar to members of the same family, this normally work against the progress of such people. And many strive for progress and development and they cannot achieve it because there's a negative family pattern in their life. You see, there's the story of Judah. Judah slept with his daughter-in-law in the Bible. And when he did that, some people are saying, oh, not our own Judah in the Bible. Hallelujah. I don't know why your mind is like that. May you be delivered in the name of Jesus. Deliver them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In Genesis 38, verse 27 down. Having done this, the woman gave birth. When she gave birth, the Bible says in verse 29, then it happened as he drew back his hand. No, when the woman wanted to give birth, let's start from 27. Now it came to pass at the time for giving birth that behold, twins were in her womb. And so it was when she gave birth that the one put out his hand and the midwife took a scarlet thread and bound it on his hand, saying, thou come out first. But that one went back. And then it happened as he drew back his hand that his brother came out unexpectedly. And she said, how did thou break through? This breach be upon you. Therefore his name was called Perez. And afterward his brother came out who had a scarlet thread on his hand and his name was called Zeresh. Now, before this, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 2, the Bible says something there that you should not sleep with people of your family or your son's wife. Or Deuteronomy 23 verse 2. And one of illegitimate birth shall not enter the assembly of the Lord even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. Can you see that? Now, Judah, having done this, from that time on, apart from David, no firstborn, even including David, no firstborn of the line of Judah until Jesus, which was the 10th generation, seated on the throne or ascend to the truth, not one. David was not the firstborn of Jesse. The firstborn of David was not Solomon. No, like that. Many people that did not even know anything. They did not ascend because they cannot enter into the assembly of God. You see, the principles of God cannot be broken. There are some negative pattern that came as a result of what fathers and mothers and people that you don't even know have done. But I've come to tell you good news this morning. Because you have been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you no longer belong. Because the Bible made it clear to me in 1 Corinthians 5:17 that if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Behold, all things have become new and the whole things have passed away. You don't belong again, and that is why you have to break that negative family curses. Break it. The place of prayer. Praise the Lord. Jabez broke it by crying to God in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9 down. If thou will bless me indeed. Because blessing is what terminates curses. Blessing is what terminates curses. Blessing is what terminates curses. Today, as we pray, every evil negative pattern in your life is destroyed in the name of Jesus. You must identify them and fight your freedom from every entanglement of negative family pattern. Fight your freedom. Fight your freedom. Fight your freedom. Don't fold your hands. When it is time to pray, don't say, my father is praying for me. Father that have not delivered himself. My mother is praying for me. Your mother that have not delivered herself. Deliver yourself. Praise the Lord. Don't allow the enemy to hold you bound. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13, it said, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God has delivered you. God has saved you. If you are born again, if you have given your life to Christ, you have been delivered and you have been translated. So those curses and those negative family pattern has no hold over your life any longer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he has given you dominion over principalities, over powers, through him and for him. This morning, I want you to have this assurance that embargoes that the enemy has placed upon your life have been destroyed in the name of Jesus. Embargoes are not good things. They are things that make man to run and run, walk and walk, and not be able to access the blessing. I pray for somebody this morning. From today, you are free from every embargo of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Brethren, I want you to understand this. Christ has not created us to be crawling. No. We are not, as a believer, we are not supposed to be crawling and be struggling. No. We are not. And we must rise up and fight and free ourselves from every such in the name of Jesus.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.